Right, we're learning Chaitanya, Geras HaKodesh, page 226. If you have an English translation, it's 436 at the bottom of the page. Otherwise, it's chapter 9 of Geras HaKodesh, the Holy Epistle.
226,
with the numbering system at the top of the page. Now this short chapter is by way of, it's like a pep talk. It's only short, but it's quite powerful words, which basically it's a reminder to the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe's followers, and subsequent generations, of course, to keep perspective of what our true objective is, because it's so easy to be distracted because of the fact that, as explained at length in Tanya, we're made up of body and soul, and even within us we have an animal soul and a godly soul, and they're pulling in different directions. So the animal soul wants to be involved in animal type pleasures and behavior, and the godly soul wants to be involved in godly pleasures and behavior. But the animal soul has an ability to conceal and cover up and even imprison the godly soul and direct operations, so to speak, so that the godly soul isn't able to express itself. So we need a reminder from time to time of what the score is, and to make sure that we have the right perspective. So this is such a chapter. Ahuvai, Achai, V'rei'ai. This is, remember, a letter. So the Alter Rebbe is talking to people in the second person, plural, right? He's talking to them like you write in a letter. You know, dear Joe, how are you? You know, you talk in the you form. So over here he's saying, Ahuvai, my beloved ones, my brothers, my friends, Asher Kenafshi. That's an interesting and powerful statement. Asher Kenafshi, that means like myself. I love you like myself. Why? Because the Torah exhorts us to love our fellow as ourselves. V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. You should love your fellow as yourself. So it's not surprising, a Rebbe who's a tzaddik is able to state that you are my beloved ones as myself. So Barsi Lekamaski Mahara Yeshenim Batardemas Hevli Havolim. I have come to remind you and to awaken the ones who sleep in the slumber of the wasteful pursuits of normal living. We know as we can get caught up in our normal pursuits, and that makes us slumber and sleep and lose sight of our real objectives. V'lifkayach einei ha'ivrim, and this is in order to open up the eyes of the blind. When we're asleep, we close our eyes, we can't see what's going on. It's an allegory to the idea that in the maelstrom of daily life, we forget to remember the real things in life, the most important things in life. Yabitu lirais lios kol yishom v'chetzon amagamosom lakol behem chaye urucham. That you should look and see, to realize that our whole striving, our whole ambition, our whole desire for all matters is our spiritual life. That is the drive that should be driving us. That it should be striving to attach ourselves to the source of the living waters. We know that water is an allegory for the Torah. So it means that we should be attached to the teachings of the Torah. Chaya chayim, the life of lives. Why? Because we have physical life and we have spiritual life. So the life of the lives means the real life amongst the kind of lives that we can possibly live. And all the days of our life, minefesh, vadbasar, from soul matters to matters of the flesh,
to keep still keep our objective and focus. Da'ainu kol milei da'alma v'iske parnosa lo yia ke'elu da'avdin over the page the garmayhu. So even though we know that everybody has to have worldly pursuits, we still need to eat and drink and sleep and have certain recreation and a home and all the, you know, the comforts that we need in a home, etc. So we do have all of those. And the iske parnasa means that we have to work in order to earn the money, the wherewithal to buy all of those things. But we should not be working for its own sake, or for our own sake. Not just that we're trying to better ourselves materially for its own sake. There has to be an objective behind it. V'la'yeh beit Yisrael ka'ovdei avodas gelilim d'zonin u'mefarnesin u'mekrin l'neshayhu u'benayhu me'ahava. And we shouldn't be like, the Jewish people should not be like the idol worshippers who feed their families. It's actually in Aramaic, these words, and it's interesting, it's a quote from the Ketubah, the Kesubah, which is the marriage document that a man gives to his wife. Under the chuppah, it's read out, you know, with a scroll, etc. And that's called the Kesubah, the marriage document. And in there, it states the obligation of the husband to the wife. And these are some of the obligations that he's got, which is to feed and give parnasa, clothing, etc. And then honor to his wife and children. Me'ava, then he has to do it out of love as well. But he's saying over here, it's true that that's our obligation. But it shouldn't be that we're doing it with just a material attitude.
Yeah.
It should be part of a wider remit that we're here to serve God. So why is a man working for his family? Because ultimately it's part of his service of God. He's not just out to build a house in the best part of town because that's his objective in life. Just material success.
Yeah.
It's got to be part of a context that says, I'm doing this as part of my service of God. It says, who is like unto your people Israel, who is the one nation in the land? And this is variously explained. What does it mean, the one nation in the land? That we're not the one nation in the land. There's lots of nations in the land. The world has 70 nations, classically. Yeah. So what do you mean, we're the one nation in the land? So one of the explanations is, we are the nation that brings oneness of God into the world. That we're the ones that brought the belief in the one God into the world, and we keep reminding people of this. That is to say, as we've just been saying, that even whilst we willy-nilly are forced to be involved in worldly matters, but not to forget the focus, which means we should not allow ourselves to be separated from the truth. So that if we get the wrong approach and we see the world as being a real existence in its own right and worthy of pursuit, right, in its own right, we are then falsifying what we say in the Shema every single day. Why? Because we say in the Shema every single day that, and we close our eyes when we do so, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The hero Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And what does the word Echad mean? Echad is Aleph, means the one God, who is in Ches, which is eight, which refers to this world, which is the earth, that's one, plus the seven heavens, one and seven makes eight. So God is in all levels in the vertical dimension. And the Dalet of Echad refers to the four directions, north, south, east, and west.
Nice question.
Yeah.
Why is it that when we pray, we cover our eyes when we say Shema?
Concentration. So that you won't be distracted by anything else. So we're saying that God is absolutely everywhere, and He is the unity of all of this. He's in the heavens above and the earth beneath. So that's what we're stating when we say the Shema. That is saying that Hashem is the main focus of everything that exists. Isn't it? So if I get involved in my job and my business, and my whole objective is to make money to buy the best house in the area, I've lost sight of my true aim of existence, which is to serve the one God, who is the God of everything around in all directions and all dimensions. And when he opens the eyes of the blind, so it means like when we realize this falsehood of what we're saying in the Shema and the way we're behaving, it can cause an effect that, you know, like we lose our existence. But this is what's good for us. This is what's beneficial for us. Is to taka be involved in our worldly pursuits. We have to do that, willy-nilly. But not to do it legarmayu, which means for its own sake. Kim lahachius nashus chalki alikus ulamalais machsorehem b'chesed chinam. But the whole idea is that whatever panos I have, whatever money I have, whatever strengths I have, whatever resources I have, should be to enable me to give life to the souls of my dependents, and to give life to their godly soul, to give, make that the more powerful element, and to lamalas machsarem, to fulfill their needs. Obviously, everyone has physical needs, but it all should be with this objective and focus. The chesed chinuch shebezeh onu medamim hatzura liyotzov Hashem echad asher chesed keil kol hayom chesed shalemes lahachis ha'olam imilua b'chol rega v'rega rak sheishto vonav shel adam kadmin l'chol l'kail al pi hatorah. So this, we compare ourselves to our Creator, who is the one God. And what's God's main activity, let's say, all the time? He's giving life into the world. He's giving life into the universe. That means that's called Chesed Chinam. He doesn't owe the world anything. He doesn't owe the creatures anything. And yet he gives life and sustenance and all the good things to his creatures. That's called Chesed Keil Kol Hayom, a kindness from God all day. And it's the kindness of truth to give life to the world every single moment. So therefore we should emulate him and try and do the same thing. Now, obviously, within the scope of what we have to do, we have to support others. But there's a hierarchy within that. There is a priority list within that, that obviously I have to look after my own family before I look after other people. You can't ignore your own family and start looking after some other people at the expense of one's own family, so that one's own family become paupers and someone else is getting the benefits of my activity. Yeah.
Which is false.
One's own family comes first. Right? But why does it come first? Because I want it to come first? No. Because God said it should come first. The Torah says it should come first.
That's
it's everything. It comes first because al pi haTorah, that's what the Torah says. It says Chayecha Kodmin, your life comes first. So in other words, I'm doing the right thing by my family, but with the right reasons behind it, and rather than just selfish self-aggrandizement. I'm doing it because this is the way the Torah prescribes a life for a Jew. Al Kain, Ahuvai, Achai, therefore, my beloved ones, my brothers, Simon Olavavchem Le'elat Varim Hanemorim B'Kutzara Ma'id. So he appeals to everyone reading this letter, please pay attention to what I'm saying, even though it is very, very brief. V'imirtz Hashem pe'el pe'adaber bom baruchan, V'imirtz Hashem, please God, I will speak to you personally about this when I meet you at length. Eich heyos kol ikar avodas Hashem itim alol b'ikos mishicha hi avodas hatzadok. You should also know that the main activity now, in this period of time, which is the time before Mashiach comes, that is called the period of the heel of Mashiach, the main activity now is the idea of giving charity. The rabbis themselves say that the Jewish people will be redeemed, the merit of redemption will be through the giving of charity. Now the rabbis also said, in something that we quote in our daily prayers in the morning, first thing, we say, V'talmud Torah k'neged kulam. That means the learning of Torah corresponds to all the other mitzvahs. Mm. Seeming to imply that it's priority over everything, it like overweighs, it balances all the other mitzvahs, so no other single mitzvah will overweigh Torah. According to that statement, Talmud Torah k'neged kulam, it implies all the other mitzvahs will only weigh as much as learning of Torah. So he now asks a question on himself. How can I tell you now that the main activity now before Moshiach comes is giving him tzedakah, when the Torah itself says, in Eilu Devarim She'enem Shir, the Talmud Torah k'neged kulam, that the learning of Torah corresponds to all the other mitzvahs? Yeah?
Why you have to say the blessing for the Torah before studying as well?
That's not why.
Well,
we say the blessing on the Torah because whatever mitzvah we do, we have to make a blessing first.
No.
And one of the mitzvahs is the learning of Torah, so we make a blessing before we do it.
What I mean is we are saying the blessing for the Torah with the other blessings in the morning, don't we?
The other blessings in the morning are blessings of praise, not blessings of mitzvah.
Right.
The only ones which are the blessings of mitzvah are the blessings of Talmud Torah, learning of Torah. The other ones are praise.
Right.
So they're not in the same category at all. So he's asking this question, how can I tell you now the main thing is tzedakah when the rabbis themselves say the main thing is learning of Torah? The answer is, Talmud Torah, that was only Ela B'Yameim, that only applied in their days that Torah was the main thing. Talmud Torah, Ika Avoda Etzlam, because that, for them, was the main service of God. And they were very great sages, correspondingly, in those days. Mashiach came with Mashiach, but now we're living in the heel of Mashiach, the period which is called the heel of Mashiach. That implies we've fallen to a very low level, because the heel is the lowest part of the body. In those days, in the time of the Mishnah and the Talmud, they were like the heads. So that was a period of Jewish history when they were living on the level of intellect, Torah intellect. So that was the main thing. But now we've gone down through all the generations down to a very low level. The level that's called the heel, which is the part of the body that goes on the ground, that's a very, very low level. So we're ad bechinas raglayim v'ikvayim. We're now feet and heels. Shehi bechinas asiya. And what's the only thing the heel can do is to do something, to walk, to put a foot down on the ground. That is doing. Ein derech ladavka ba behemes lahavcha chashayich lenahayra dila ki bechinas asiya. So the only way of transforming the powers in this generation, which are called the ikvus of the heel, which is the very low level, which represents asiya doing, is by also doing. Gamkein shehi maisa tzedaka, the doing also, which means doing charitable works. Ki yadua lemaskilim shebechinas asiya belekus, ki bechinas hashpoas hamshachas achayas lamata mata, leman deles lemigar meklum. And what does it mean to give charity? So it's known to those that study the Hasidic teachings, that what does it mean, this doing that we're talking about here? The doing of charity means bestowing upon those that are on a very low level life and life force, and these people have nothing of their own. That's what Hashem is doing for us. We really have nothing of our own, meaning that He doesn't owe us anything, and we owe everything to Him. So we're like totally poverty-stricken people who have nothing. And Hashem is pouring down upon us His bounty and life force and goodness to us. So that is the doing that He demands of us today, which is to help people that don't have. V'chol ha'zavech yitzah b'zeh u'paseh yodoh u'levavoy iskaf yisitrachyo mehapach ha'shoich ha'lahar. And anybody who puts in effort and sacrifices himself And literally he uses the terminology, slaughters his Yetzirah on this matter, because the Yetzirah comes along and throws up all sorts of objections to why we shouldn't give charity to the guy that knocked on the door. The Rebbe talked about this in Sikhas many times. So the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, it throws up all sorts of objections. And so if a person overcomes that, and he opens his hand and his heart, and he suppresses the negative force of the evil inclination, and he converts the darkness to light, meaning he transforms himself to be doing good when tempted not to, Hashem Yisbarach HaShoychein Aleinu B'pinas Asiyah V'Hikos Mashiach, then he will... He converts the darkness to the light of the Holy One, blessed be He, who dwells over us in this way we've described of Asiyah, of actually doing, meaning bestowing upon us life force, even though we don't deserve it. Be'igvas Mashiach, in this time which is called the heel of Mashiach, the Yiske Liros Ayim Be'ayim B'Shuv Hashem Tziyayim, and as a result, and the merit of this charity that he gives, he will merit to see, face eye to eye, the when Hashem returns to Zion, which means the coming of Mashiach.